The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
Good afternoon. I am Vina Jones Cox, and this is Real Life Real Estate Investing, where every week of every year we work to put the information and inspiration into your brain that you need to start or grow your own real estate investing business. And today we've got an unusual program, and I say it's unusual just because we don't get a lot of opportunities to talk to new investors who are in the throes of that whole new investor thing that happens to people. It's not that I haven't asked new investors to come on and share their experiences, is that most of the time the reaction I get is, well, I don't possibly have anything that could possibly help anybody else. And no matter how I encourage them, they say, oh, no. And when I've had, like, a whole lot of success, I will definitely come on. Or, of course, there's, you know, the whole bunch of people that just say, oh, I can't do radio. It's too scary. But today, we do, in fact, have exactly that. I put out a call on social media the other day saying, hey, I'm short a guest this week. Who would like to share? And the very first person who responded was Mr. Chad Warren from Columbus, Ohio, who is a member of the community of real estate entrepreneurs and who is most definitely a new investor. He's going to be helping, I think, primarily other new investors, I guess, would probably be the main person that's going to get helped by this interview today, because he's got some real insights into what it takes to get past that whole mental inexperience, you know, all the stuff that comes along with being a new investor. So, Chad, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Hello. Happy to be here.
I appreciate you doing this.
Yeah.
I literally think in, I don't even know how many years now, it's been 29 years that this show has been on, I don't think any new investor has ever stepped up and said, I would like to help people, and I think I can do that.
Well, I'm happy to share my experience.
Okay. So let's just start out with kind of an introduction. Like, tell us, like, what you did in life before you got into real estate. What was your real job? What else was going on in your life? And just take us up to the point where you decided, yep, I'm gonna go do this.
Yeah, the short of it is that I went to college because my parents didn't go to college, so they always told me when I was a kid I was going to college. And I didn't know what I was going to do, but I went for art, actually. And I did go to OSU, and I did graduate after some time. But I've been playing music since I was a kid, so I started working as a professional musician, like, really right out of high school I started. And my mom and dad also owned an aquarium maintenance business, and I started working in that as well. So I was kind of a natural born gig worker, so to speak. I guess you would call it an entrepreneur, but I'd call it just a gig worker. And so I've always done just music and aquariums for really the last 18 years. And I got married and I graduated, I got married slightly after I graduated. But how this kind of ties to real estate right away was my mom wanted to give me a property that she bought during the 2008 era, as you would know, for $8,500 here in Columbus. So she gave that to me when I graduated under the pretense that it wasn't like she could pay for my college, but if she gave me this investment, it would help me. So I've grown up around, like, both of my parents were kind of DIY people where, you know, we would paint the house, we would redo things. I remember working on my mom's first investment that she got here in Columbus when I was 19 years old. So when I graduated, she gave me this house in the Hilltops, and I fixed it up myself. I sanded the floors. I just kind of learned as I went. I mean, it was nerve-wracking then, and I got it rented out with her help. And I rented it for all the way up until 2020. So during that whole time, my wife kind of had the breadwinner job, the consistent job. And I also have type 1 diabetes. So she had, after I graduated college, she sort of carried the insurance for us. And that definitely really helped. So in her mind, she always had to have a 9-to-5 type of thing to carry insurance and stuff like that. And I was kind of the musician off. I would do aquariums. And then I learned videography, and I've kind of done lots of little gigs here and there, and kind of all around. But at the same time, I had that rental property, and of course I wasn't saving the money like my mom would think I should have. I was spending it. And then and the tenants did good for like 5 years. And then all of a sudden they got hooked on drugs and completely ruined the house. And I had to go through my first eviction process, which was very difficult being young. The judge did not side on my side, but it took me a long time to get them out. And then it sat vacant. And I used to get those wholesale calls all the time. They would be annoying, you know. And then fast forward to 2020. I kind of got into, I read the Dave Ramsey book, and it got me all into thinking about our debt and stuff. And during 2020, my wife was getting raises at her job. So I started taking it upon myself to, like, let's plan to pay off all this debt. Let's pay this off and that off, and let's get rid of our payments. Let's get cars that we just pay cash for, which we still have. And at that time, I was thinking, I don't like this rental property. I have no idea what to do with it. I thought I was still going to kind of be like a music, like make it in music. And I was kind of working on my own dreams, you know, and my mom has always been in the back of my head, like, you know, if you got in real estate and you learned real estate a little bit, it would be just the consistent thing. Because that's kind of what she did. Is she was a buy and hold investor, but also went on to do her passion. And she's a trainer in this work called compassionate communication. And that's sort of her music in a way. And she also used to do the aquariums as well. So anyway, I answered with my mom's sort of, I don't know what to call it. She gave me her blessing to sell that property that I had. And I answered one of those wholesale calls and I said, well, what would you give me? And I think they offered me $40,000. And I'm a little bit of a wheeler and dealer my own self, just with musical instruments and kind of that DIY person that I am. I checked with a couple other people of wholesalers, and I played a couple of them against each other. I did, and I ended up getting $52,500 in like 10 days. And my mom said, you know, I'm cool with you selling the house as long as you take care of the student loan, because that's the intention that I gave you that house under. And I owed, I think, $35,000 left on my loan. And as soon as that money hit my account, I paid that loan off. I paid a car we were upside down on. So I was just kind of, there was a death on Tiffany's side of the family, actually, our nephew. And it just kind of broke us open, or especially her, that she's just like, you know, like, what am I doing? And I'm not happy at my job. And that's kind of, during that time is when I got so into paying our debt off. It was just like my goal of something I could do that I felt like that was good for us, you know. And so I sold the house, And then we've kind of stumbled along. We started our own podcast. You know, just trying to figure out different ways. She ended up quitting her job that was our main source of income. Of course, mine was up and down all the time. And she quit for a year and a half and ended up finding her another job. And I think I told you this, Vina, for $16 an hour. And she used to make six figures. And she took a job that she's working a couple days a week at a boutique that she really loved. And slightly before that, you know, my mom has always been inviting me to your meetings each month. Maybe not each month, but a couple times a year, she told me, like, why don't you come? And finally, I remember our first meeting we went to. I said, Tiff, we're going to this real estate meeting. Come on. And she's like, why are we? I thought we talked about this. We're not real estate people, and we're not getting into that type of thing. And I'm like, listen, we got to try something. Because I forgot to say, we took out a credit line on our house after we paid all that debt off.
because she had left the high-paying corporate job for the job she actually liked, because the death of her nephew made her reconsider her life, and did she really want to be doing that high-paid corporate job? So
exactly.
So then the paid-off house became a not paid-off house.
Right. It did. Over time, while we're like, well, we're figuring something. And right at the beginning of that, my mom said, you know, if you took that credit line and you just bought a house, it would, you know. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, you're always saying that. Like, I got my own plan. I know what I'm doing, blah, blah. And I wish I would have took her advice, but it's kind of got me to this point and some of what we're going to talk about as well. And so when she invited me to that first meeting, we came, and I remember, like I said, Tiffany's like, what are we doing? I'm like, we got to try anything. And I showed up, and I heard you speak, honestly. And then I met a guy that is now a big mentor of mine at that meeting. And we grew up together and went to kind of church together. My mom had mentored him some in his beginning of real estate, and I got to talking to him, and I was like, I think I'm going to wholesale. And he was like, and he was just sort of asking me questions about it. And it basically was because I was on the other side where I did sell my house to a wholesaler, and I was perfectly happy with it. Like, I look it up nowadays, and he made $18,000, but it didn't matter to me at that point. Like, he took a house that I walked through 5 minutes, and I had fleas all the way up to my knees, and there was trash all over the yard. Like, I couldn't believe that somebody would pay anything for it, let alone over $50,000. So it was exactly what I needed at that time. And I think we talk about that now of, like, what is somebody's need? And my needs were to clear up debt and get rid of this house that I had no energy for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, Chad, when we come back from the break, we're gonna put some dates on this, because, you know, you were advertised as a new investor, and mm-hmm. from your story, it sounds like you kind of weren't a new investor, but you were. So we're gonna put some dates on this, and then we're gonna talk about what makes you different from all the people that, quote, get into real estate and never do a deal. Audience, if you have any questions, you can call them in at 877-772-9658, or you can send us an email. The email is vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones Cox. We're talking today to Chad Warren, who he's a new investor. Just actually got started in his wholesaling business within the last 2 years. And the thing that we're going to really be talking about here is, why was he able to actually get started and actually make deals and actually keep going when so many people who take a class or join a group or read a book or, I don't know, join one of the online forums or something, just never manage to get past that stage of kind of being a wannabe. Now, Chad, to kind of finish out your story here, You know, I think a lot of people heard the story about your mom giving you a rental house. And to be clear, it wasn't a rental house when she gave it to you. It was a,
no,
it was a junker house when she gave it to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you fixed it up and then you had it for a while and then you sold it. And they're kind of going, well, he was in the real estate business, you know, 10 years ago. But to, in your mind, you weren't in the real estate business. Somebody, it would be like if I gave you a bunch of stock because you were my kid and said, do with it what you want. You wouldn't necessarily consider yourself a stock investor because
yeah.
I had given you a bunch of stock. When did you, when was this point at which you actually attended a group meeting?
Yeah, so that would have been just about a year and a half, or 2 years ago, coming up, or right now, actually, February. So I came to a meeting, and no, I wouldn't consider myself an investor at all. I was just kind of messing around, trying to do stuff, you know, and obviously I didn't have heart for it, and I ended up selling it to a wholesaler. But when I came to the CoRE meeting, I just thought, wow, like all I got to do is figure out how to wholesale. And then I can kind of not work so hard with the music gigs because that does, that turns into not being much passion when I'm doing it for a living. And I really wanted to make that a more dessert passion part of my life. And then it's really just a have to. With figuring out real estate. So I just started absorbing everything I can and asking questions. And I remember there was, it was like June. So I joined in February and I'm like learning and I'm looking at stuff on, but I remember there was just like a day I was feeling, or more than that, like weeks feeling depressed, like I'm not moving, I'm not doing anything. And I just made like a cold, hard, like, I'm going to learn this Monday. I'm going to start all the way in, and I'm going to start making movement. Mm-hmm. And it was the most uncomfortable day of my life. It really, it is very uncomfortable. Like part of what I want to talk about is just a lot of times we're getting into real estate and we're, it's a whole identity change. You know, a lot of times, a lot of us have thought we were going to be something else. I thought I was going to be this maybe rock star, you know, making music that way. But here I am with a family and I have two kids and you know, I can't eat ramen noodles and sleep on couches. That's just not feasible.
So since then, since that day in June where you were like, nope, I'm absolutely, you really committed. It wasn't just, I'm going to sit and be an observer anymore. You really committed 18 months ago, give or take. How many deals have you done?
I've done seven. I think it's seven or eight. It may be eight.
Okay. So many, I've lost count at this point.
No, how, like that, no.
And I know you're, as you're saying that, you're probably going, I wish I could say, I've been this in 18 months, I wish I could say I'd done 36 deals in 18 months, but you've done seven more deals, or maybe eight, than most people who 18 months ago said, yeah, I'm going to do this. How have you been able to accomplish that?
Well, it's, if I'm really honest, it is hard to put into words, but I know that I keep asking questions and I hang on the words of people that I want to be like and that I feel like that are honest and that I can connect to. And I could give you an example of my first deal. I did a wholesale deal. Actually, it's the one I made the most money on. I made $17,000. I found it on Facebook Marketplace, and I found a buyer on Facebook Marketplace. Now, have I been able to do that exact thing since? No, but I'll tell you that I talked to the owner. It's like finding them at the right time, and I mentioned an agreement, you know, contract, whatever you want to call it. He said, I'm not signing anything. Somebody's going to have me sign something and had me locked up for 90 days and wouldn't return my call. So at that point, I just said, you know, in my mind, I'm like, well, that's not going to work. But I go and I'm playing music at a place that I see the guy I'm talking about, a mentor of mine, and I tell him the story. He's always checking up on me like every week, like, how's it going? I tell him the story, and he gives me the tiniest little, it's not tiny because it turned into $17,000, But he said, oh, well, why don't you ask him if you could just do maybe an agreement for 2 weeks, and then you could promote, market it real hard and see if you could find a buyer in 2 weeks, and tell him, you know, the title is at least going to take a week, so I won't waste much of your time. And when I brought that back to the seller, he said, I might sign something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that little tiny thing, I mean, and then it got, of course, the deal got complicated and stuff, but it ended up closing. So I don't know if you want to hear about the complication or that the main thing is that I asked for help when I thought it was impossible. And this happens all the time on our Friday calls. Like, you just hear one little thing, like you preach all the time, like just bring it to other brains, and you never know. And hear this little idea by my friend John, you know, and that was a way I could communicate and connect with the seller, where he goes, well, I might sign something like that.
So let me ask what's going to sound somewhat like a similar question, but kind of from another perspective, and that is, I bet that you have seen other new investors who started, like, who said they were starting like at the same time you did, or even maybe before you did, who haven't made a deal yet. What are you doing differently than what they're doing?
Well, I think that I just keep going. And even when it's very hard, and I cannot even tell you how much your mind can play games on yourself of that you can't do something, or it can't be that simple, or it's easier for other people. And I think one of the things that come to mind is that we can get high on the information. You know, you get on YouTube or whatever, wherever you want to, you buy the course, and you're like, you kind of get that rush because you made this big decision, right? And we've heard that before. And I even tell my little sister, I say, stop making these extreme decisions. Make boring decisions. those are the small steps that's going to get you to the success. The big flashy decisions, I've just done that a lot. And I don't know if you can get through it without doing it a lot, but I've done it with music. I've bought courses. I've got all excited. And I'm excited 1 week, and then I lose the steam. And basically, yeah, you can, like, the summit is amazing, but you also can get so high on the information of the possibilities, but it doesn't matter how much professional, you know, techniques or all the systems you have, if you don't apply yourself the step-by-step, kind of the grit thing, just like a little at a time, and consistency. And I can't stand here and I don't feel consistent. I feel like I've been bouncing all around everywhere. But I do commit to showing up on calls every week, and I commit to, as nerve-wracking as it is, to speak up and say, this is my name, and this is what I'm doing, and this is what I'm trying to do. And after some time, I notice people do start to recognize me, or even I think I'm going to be able to borrow from a private money lender from speaking up like that on my first deal and buy my first house, actually, here soon.
Second house. First one that you've actually decided to buy.
Keyword buy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So if we were on like a video podcast, I would be able to draw a picture of what you just said, because it's what every experienced investor in the world will tell you has to happen if you're going to be successful in real estate. And the picture would look like this. It would say, get educated. And then it's a circle, right? It would say, get educated. And then it would say, take action. And then it would say, persist. And then it would say, get experience. And then the circle would go back up to get educated, because you're constantly coming back around to that education, right? It's, you know, when you've mastered wholesaling, then you're going to want to master creative finance or rental management or rehabbing or something else like that. And the route most people take is commit, get educated, And then before they get to the step of taking action, they go back to get educated. And then they go back to get educated, and they go back to get educated, and they go back to get educated. Because, as you said, it's real. I mean, learning about this stuff feels good. I mean, look at all these possibilities. Look at all these people who are doing, look at all these checks this guy is showing me. Look at all this.
Right.
And that part, dreaming about it, you know, and learning, even learning about it's exciting. Like, oh my God, I understand that. That's so great.
Yeah.
And where things fall apart is either in the take action part or in the persist part. Many people never make that first offer. It's like they're waiting for somebody to show up at their doorstep and insist that, you know, here, please take my deed, right?
Yeah.
Or and they make a couple offers, the offers get rejected, and they're like, well, this just doesn't work. And they don't persist. How many offers did you make before, like, you actually got a deal under contract? Or maybe a better question is, how many offers do you make to get a deal under contract?
It's a lot more than you can ever imagine. I keep getting my threshold calibrated and calibrated. So, I don't quite know the number, but maybe 30, 50, mm-hmm. 100.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It can be like that. I wanted to go back to your point, and I think where people go wrong, I think it's an emotional thing, honestly, and to be completely vulnerable, like when you're new to something, you don't feel good, and it doesn't feel good to speak up to ask because you feel like it's a stupid question, you know? But the thing is that I found with people like you, with Sam, Robert, any of the people, they're jumping at the chance to help somebody new because they know the feeling of what it felt like to kind of get going. And they also, I think everybody does know the internal struggle and fear and self-doubt. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I feel like maybe I might have had an edge accidentally where I can't tell you how many times I talked to the guy John I was talking about, and I'll just say, like, I'm struggling. Like, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm stuck in fear and all this stuff. But I think the key is that I said it out loud versus kind of finding an excuse and quitting, that you have to, like, reach out right when you're about to quit, and you will get a little nugget or some encouragement. I mean, I've just had a few encouraging conversations over the last 18 months that, like, I was getting ready to quit, you know, and then you'll have that one conversation that gets you, you know, going for the next week or two. So I would say for sure, even though it's scary, like, nobody's good at anything. They weren't born good at anything. Like, that's just not the way it works. Like, it would be like somebody just expecting to be good at the guitar. Like, no, it's going to take you like 3 years to be able to, like, play some stream of notes that make
sense. And a lot of calluses.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of pain, right?
Yeah. Okay, Chad, we need to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to answer some questions that have come in from listeners at vinaradio@gmail.com. If you have a question, especially if you're a struggling new investor and you'd like to know something from somebody who was a very struggling new investor 18 months ago and is now a less struggling new investor, give us a call at 877-772-9658. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. Today's our conversation with a new investor, and we've got some questions in the inbox. Before we get to those, it's public radio, ladies and gentlemen. There's fund drives every 6 months. That's just how it works. That's how public radio gets its money. We got one coming up early in March, and as you know, I'm not the let me get on the air and offer a coffee mug in return for a $5 a month pledge kind of person. So what we're offering here to listeners of Real Life Real Estate Investing is a very complete how to buy properties without using your own money class. It's called the Transactioneering Mastery Academy. If you will make a pledge to WMKV of $1,297, I will train you on everything about how do I do subject twos, owner financing, private loans, you know, wrap mortgages, lease options, options, all of the stuff that you've heard of but may not fully understand yet. That course, by the way, is usually $2,497. So $1,297 is way under that, obviously. To get a ticket, you need to go to wmkvfm.org, go to the Donate Now, I Want a Gift tab, and then if you scroll down to the bottom, you will see it. There's only about 15 of those available, because I'm not crazy. I'm not going to, like, let WMKV fill up my whole 200-person class and they take all the pledges. That's not going to happen. So if that's something that you have been interested in and you want some really intensive education, it's going to be every Monday night from March the 10th to April the 14th, 2 hours online. And then we're going to wrap up with a live 3-day, event in Cincinnati, which you can also attend online if you want. Go grab that. WMKVFM.org. Go to the Donate Now button. Where it says, do you want a gift? Yes. And then scroll down to the bottom and you will see it. Okay. Chad, question from Matt V. What was the feedback that you got from your circle of family and acquaintances when you advised them that you were going into the real estate investing? Usually it's a negative, which is an emotional hurdle that has to be overcome.
Yeah, I think my situation is a little different because like I explained about my mom, it's like she had been trying to get me to do it for the longest time. So I was resistant and sort of, I'm going to do my own artistic way. So there was support. Now, I would say my wife did push back where she was, like I said, she's like, well, what are we doing? I thought we already said we're not doing real estate. And I was just in an intuitive space, like we have to try anything.
Mm-hmm. Did the $17,000 check bring her over to your side at all?
Oh yeah.
we call those shut up checks. And Matt V, you're absolutely right. I hear that all the time. That like nobody in my family, nobody amongst my friends, nobody amongst my colleagues at work thinks I should be doing this, and it is a huge thing to overcome. And when people tell me that that's their situation, what I say is just, you know, accept that they're not entrepreneurial. They're actually, you know, they're worried for you. They're worried that you're going to get into something and it's going to hurt you. They're also worried that, a little worried, honestly, that you're going to become super successful and leave them behind. So the solution is go get new friends. And I'm not saying like, dump everybody. I'm not saying like call them up and say, well, if you don't support me, bye-bye. I'm saying go find a tribe of people who loves what you do, who's willing to support you in what you do, who believes you can do what you're going to do. And that usually means joining a really good real estate association.
Yeah, I would add one more thing too, is that, you know, you don't take advice from somebody that's not an expert at what they're giving advice about.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, there's a lot of people who are willing to tell you that you shouldn't do it because the market's too hot, or you shouldn't do it because the market's slowing down, or you shouldn't do it because, who have never done a deal in their life. And yet they're very willing to give you advice on what you should be doing. Second question, and this one is actually from Robert in Nashville, who, by the way, also sent me a separate email saying, you made a really good choice getting Chad on there. So he's become a really big fan. His question is, are there any personal attributes that you have that, like, you kind of brought into this that you think was an advantage to you in making particularly wholesaling work for you?
Yes, 100%. And this is something why I gravitated towards wholesaling, because I was on the other side. That's one. And then actually, when I mentioned my mom's work with nonviolent communication, I've been around that since I was in high school. And I've been around long enough to hate it and then it make a difference in my life and love it. So And it has a lot to do with empathy and compassion. And a lot of people think empathy and compassion is kind of weakness. And no, it's the ability to hear somebody and hear their needs and hear where they're at and connect with them, right? So I thought, wow, I definitely use that skill when I'm on the phone with sellers, even just every day. I think of in my brain instead of, oh, my gosh, how can I make money? It switched to like, oh, my gosh, how can I connect with this person to find out the truth? Because even if the truth is, hey, I'm an investor. If I wanted to sell my house, I would list it on with a realtor and get full value. Cool. That's totally cool. Well, then let's connect about and be investor friends or something. It's about figuring out the truth and connecting and meeting somebody where they are. So for sure, empathy is very close to my heart and kind of I'm constantly working on that, like how I can just hear somebody and hear where they're at and meet them there. And for sure, I use that with really all of my life, but with real estate in particular.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you preface that the way you did, which is that you've been around this for so long, because it sounds like that is actually something that if somebody listening thought that they didn't have it, they could learn to have it. It's like a skill they could develop.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty much all skills that you can develop.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, you're also a little bit of an extrovert, Chad. I mean, most people...
I seem that way, but I'm really not. Like, I'm actually a very shy person. When I was growing up, I didn't even talk until I was 4 years old. They thought something was wrong with me. And in high school, when I kind of finally let people know that I play music, I've been playing since I was a little kid, it was kind of like the comedian, right, where it gave me like a voice of something I was known for. So then I started to step into, I can step into an extroverted part of myself. But actually inside, I am a shy, like I have a very introverted part of me, even though it doesn't seem like it in this moment. It's just that when you get to a point in your life where it's like I have to make this work, you move differently. you'll break through your limitations. So I'll say every Friday that I speak up on the call, I get a little jitters inside. I get nervous. And I just do it.
Well, it might make you feel better to know that nobody knows that. Except now they do because you just told them.
Well, and I say that and because I know people might be able to hear me sit here and talk and be like, well, I'm not outgoing like that. Like, well, we all play those games in our head of how we're not as good as the next person. You know, it's just like getting on Facebook, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Question from Karen, who's also in Tennessee. Which method of investing is usually the best in order to build up a bank of funds before trying to scale to monthly income from rental income, And Chad, I'm going to, since you've only kind of done the one thing, which is wholesaling, and the only other thing is retailing, and that like gets you quick cash. And Karen, in order to answer that question about which of those things should you do, I would need to know a lot more about you and your skill set and your tolerance for things like dealing with contractors for months on end. I want to twist the question around a little bit, Chad, and say, does she actually need cash to buy rental properties?
No, she doesn't. And I am figuring that, I mean, you hear it all the time, and it's been nerve-wracking for me. And again, because I've spoke up a lot and I make myself push through the nervousness, somebody has called me on a day that I got a deal in contract, and he said, why don't you let me just loan you the money to buy that, and you keep it for yourself? And I kind of was like, I don't know, I just need money now. And he was like, yeah, you still get money now, but you can own a property. He was like, I'll buy it from you if you want, but you could keep it.
And this is another member of the group.
Yes.
And who just has gotten to know you because you've been at practically every meeting for 18 months, and yep. who it's a little unusual that he came to you and said, what are you doing, Chad? Why are you trying to sell this house? You should keep this house. I'll give you the money to loan you the money to keep this house. And I assure you that he's going to make money on this too.
Yeah.
But those people are all around everybody who's in a good group. And if you ask for it, people will help you not just get the money, but also even evaluate the deal and see if it's one that you should be keeping. And I'm gonna let the cat out of the bag a little bit and say you and I had a conversation while we were setting up for the last CoRe meeting, and you told me about a property where it was a three family and somebody on the bottom floor was paying $700 a month, and the owner was wanting to back out because he didn't want that tenant kicked out. And you and I had a whole conversation about, well, then tell him that you will buy the house, you will leave the tenant there, and then you've got those other two units that you can rent. And you said this, you basically said the same thing. I don't know, man. I just need some cash. And, you know, I beat you about the head with a verbal stick for a little while saying, okay, but you're not getting cash off this deal. Let's figure out a different way to do it. And then next thing I know, you're doing that, but with a different property.
Yeah. Yep. And I would say to that, like, when people are asking what to do, like, you just got to keep showing up to a lot of different things. And it's going to sound like complete foreign language, but now that I've stayed on and listened to, you know, prop swap calls and like all the language, like, I understand how it is. And before you know it, like, my mind's like, okay, I understand how it works, or I'll ask for clarity once in a while and just try to, or like in your classes, you really make people sit down and do each step because you know that they won't ask the question. So it kind of like brings the questions out by doing it step by step. It's not complicated. It's no different than showing up to the first day of school and you don't know anyone. It's just nerve-wracking, and you take it little by little and keep showing up.
Yeah, your willingness to be uncomfortable, I think, is another advantage that he has. Now, Chad, we have just about two more minutes. So I think if I were to summarize what you have said, like, this is what did it for me. It's a combination of mentors, having a community around you that answers your questions and pushes you to do things and helps you find money to do deals, apparently, and getting educated yourself on the side. It's not like you're waiting for other people to just tell you how this stuff works, and just taking action. So what is the biggest thing you still feel like you need to overcome to get this whole thing to the level that you want it to be?
Just getting tighter with my time and very organized. And I would just say that, like, you know, from 10 to 12, I do this. And from this, you know, just getting my schedule tighter and tighter. But, I just keep showing up. And I can't say enough, when you get in the fear spot, you got to call somebody. You got to call somebody that you trust.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In 1 minute, there's somebody listening right now who's a new investor who's feeling a little encouraged by what you've said, but they were, before they tuned in, they were thinking about quitting. What is your best piece of advice for them?
I would say soul search, find your why, of why you want to do this, why you need to do it, and I'll just keep repeating that you've got to ask for help. You can't be a DIY person, do it all yourself, and solve all your own problems.
Excellent advice for actually any investor at any level who's feeling frustrated or like, you know, maybe I should give up and quit. So, Chad, very much appreciate you being with us today and being so vulnerable about what you have been through and what it has taken for you to get where you are.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing. Don't forget to go to wmkvfm.org, hit the donate now button, go down to the bottom of the gifts page and grab one of the tickets to the upcoming How to Buy Houses Creatively Without Your Own Money class. We will be back next week with more information to put you on the path to financial independence through real estate investing. Until then, happy investing.